regulation, we realize sometimes there are difficulties, less than other times, sometimes more, but we still try to see how to go on serving. Because they come and go. Just like you are a medical man, you treat some patients. Suppose he is attacked with fever. Everyone knows that fever has come after some time. And after some time, it will go away. So the one who is cultivating Krishna consciousness, he is not very much disturbed with fever. He knows that it has come and it will automatically go. If we fast for a few days, there's a Bengali proverb. Jwana par ketana dali palab. There's a question mark there. If you receive one unwanted guest and fever, you don't have to give him something to eat. Then he will go away. Someone comes to your house, they're unwanted guests, you do not feed them, they will not stay very long. If you do not give him food, he'll go away. Even if fever also, if you do not eat, it will automatically go. So after all of these, what is it, you starve a fever and you feed a cold? As someone was telling me, you starve a fever and you feast when there's a cold. So after all these things come and go, the example is given, Sita Ushna. Sita means winter and Ushna means summer. As the summer comes and goes, winter also comes and goes. So these kinds of sufferings, they come and they go. So Krishna is advising Tams Tatiksha Bharata. Therefore, a Brahmana's qualification is Tatiksha. Samo Dhammo Socham Tatiksha. Toleration. They are not very much bothered with the bodily pains and pleasures. They come and they go. They're engaged in real business. How to realize Brahman. So if one is engaged in the prime business of life, Brahman understanding, Atato Brahman Jignasa, for him these bodily pains and pleasures become minor things. Therefore, so they're existing, but we do not take them as so primary, as so significant. They're minor. Therefore, we see such examples that one saintly person is living in the Himalayan mountains. There is snowfall. There is no proper place still they live. Still there are many. But nowadays it is not possible. Voluntarily they used to go to the forest, to the Himalayas, just to tolerate these pains and pleasures of bodily, equal and engage in their own business of spiritual understanding. This is human civilization. Human civilization that is described to Paul Divyam. For the supreme spiritual realization, one should undergo tapasya. And last one, little letter that Prabhupada sent out in Vrindavan 1977, August 17, in a room conversation. Get a new life, Prabhupada is saying. Get a new life all around. No depression. No hopelessness. Is it not American boys and girls? They become so much depressed out of hopelessness. Now here's a life, future. And then a letter to Guru Das in 1972. Prabhupada says, I'm in due receipt of your letter dated August 23rd, 1972. I have noted the contents carefully. Do not be depressed. All along, my God brothers gave me only depression, repression, compression. But I continued strong in my duty. So never mind there is some discouragement. Continue with your work in full and enthusiastic Krishna conscious attitude of service. So Prabhupada talks about depression, repression, compression. He lets us know that was what he was confronted with. But we see that it did not deter him from his mission of coming to save us, give us this great process. Okay, last thing we want to do today is we wanted to go back to what we missed 2 days ago, where we were, because of time and schedule shift, I wanted to discuss just a little bit about the times that we felt most Krishna conscious. And as we look back at our history and our own life in Krishna consciousness, we want to just reflect on the time, a period in our life that we felt that we were most happy in our Krishna consciousness. What was going on? Just briefly, what was going on in our environment? What was going on in our mind? So if we can, some of you can share this. Hopefully you had a little time to think about it from a few days ago. And the reason we're doing this, well, you'll see after we do it for 5 minutes. Yes.
I remember I was recently giving classes in the temple in Service Street, and before I was giving class, I was meditating on how I wasn't qualified to do it yet. I wanted to uplift those who were there, the devotees who were assembled, so I was crying out to Krishna as I was chanting. Bhagavad Gita class. And yes, I was crying out to Krishna beforehand, you know, and I felt that being in this mood of kind of not feeling qualified but wanting to serve the devotees, that I felt very uplifted and ecstatic afterwards in the kirtan, and I felt, you know, and got a good reaction from the devotees. So I realized that the big, you know, when you said that we should go and do this meditation, I realized in retrospect that because I was in a selfless mood, I was in the mood of trying to serve others and not thinking of myself, thinking of myself as not qualified to be able to do it, but trying to help others without thinking of myself, and that's when I felt most happy.
So in his case, he felt most happy when he felt unworthy, unqualified, but had a responsibility, a duty to perform, and was in a prayerful state of how to serve the devotees. And due to that, he felt quite inspired about the exchange of what happened. Mm-hmm. Someone else appeared in their life. Doesn't have to be an actual instance, but a certain period in your life that you're feeling more surcharged. I mean, maybe you've been feeling that way all the time. You're always surcharged. It's hard to figure a time that there's a high because you're always high. You can explain that to us also. Yes.
The time when I was more engaged in Sanitam, especially in book distribution, and at times when I could really surrender to the state of the book distribution and really like give myself completely, then I felt the most connected with Krishna, and also most happy. I was in my time of devotion service. I felt, of course, when you feel like close and connected with Krishna.
So a time when he was actively engaged in Sankirtan and trying to just be used for Krishna's service.
Mm-hmm. I had once an experience in Amsterdam. I was about to go for him. He was singing the Gaudiya and such an energy came from him that I realized I'm serving.
Very ecstatic experience from hearing another devotee doing bhajan. And as she fixed herself in hearing the bhajan, she had some interesting realizations.
One time I was taking the Harinam Bhatiyar, and one day it consisted of two persons. One was a psychopath, the later gems of the group at the Amsterdam Temple, and the other one was a girl, and she was also simple, though nutty. And I felt his eyes staring in my back. And it was, oh no, I have to go. And I really didn't want to go. And it was just surrender. And then at the end it started to rain as well, which I don't like. But I surrendered to it, and at one point I found myself, we found ourselves dancing with big smiles, and it was the only time, until now, you know how I enjoy kirtan, that I felt that I was hovering, that we were in heaven, you know, like this. And because I surrendered to it, although all the clear circumstances, I surrendered to it. Mm-hmm. And then you got the most bliss back of Krishna.
Yeah. Interesting, again, a time when there was a crossroads or a conflict, situation of challenge, gave in to seemingly trying to do what was the most Krishna conscious thing, chant the holy name, even though there wasn't such expert association or expert musicians or whatever. And from that, he reached one of his highest heights that he's experienced in chanting the holy name. Someone else? Yes.
Yeah, for some years that I was in Zurich Temple in the distribution, and I was not doing so well, no? And then they decided to change me, to send me to the farm. And actually, I started to have some faith in book distribution, and I started to make better, so I didn't want to leave book distribution. And they somehow my Guru Maharaj sent me, so I had to surrender even I didn't like, and I went to Dole. And after some time in Dole, then yeah, I was completely fully engaged in my service, and I was have a good sadhana, waking up early in the morning, chanting all my arms early, and everything was in balance. I was feeling that I was welcome, that I was valued, and everything was in balance, the thinking, the sadhana,
everything, and I was feeling very satisfied. Okay. We'll stop, but if you go on, we'll see the similar kind of thing that it will be constantly appearing, is that devotees felt challenged. They had some, maybe some question about doing something, whether they were competent or not, whether they should do, because they didn't perhaps necessarily have the appetite for that, the attitude. But it has a lot to do with selflessness, with preaching, with sharing, and just depending on Krishna. The science, it works and is very powerful. Our faith is very important. Not blind faith, not foolish faith, but we have faith and we take shelter of the system. Then powerful things happen. So Maya constantly tries to weaken our faith, to distract us with all the games that the mind plays. This depression, a sense of abandonment, lack of forgiveness, then the six enemies of the mind. So Maya is constantly operating our minds and trying to get us to not to see the simple truths that are there. Krishna consciousness, we understand, is simple, it is natural, but the acculturation that we are experiencing is so intense. And because of that, basically material life is a form of craziness, where we find many ways to do things that are unhealthy for us, and then we find ways to justify them. So we are associating, really trying to help each other to become natural. We're trying to remind each other that Krishna's love is there. We're trying to remind each other that although there may be many, many complexities, many difficulties, we may get disappointed in many, many ways, but Krishna does not disappoint anyone. So because of that, we can always have a sense of solace, knowing that Krishna is there. And if we just take more shelter of him, then he's promised. He's promised as we surrender, he will reward accordingly. He has made it very clear that Hamsavasa Prabhupada Mataksavam Pavadate Dimata Bhajangte Mam Buddha Bhava Samambitaha, that all things, material and spiritual, are under his control. He is controlling Mataparatana Nanya. So we just have to kind of put it a little more to a test. Krishna, so you have said like this, and I am all now to trying to be all yours, and therefore I do not have such strong faith. The Rupa Goswami, his Ashabandha prayer is so wonderful. When he lets us know, he's expressing how he is not from such good background. He is not having such attachment to following the process of devotion. He is not having love of God and not having attachment to those things that will give love. But at the same time, he's making it clear to us that Krishna's mercy is even greater than his law, although we shouldn't challenge that. But Krishna's mercy is there, and he's letting us know that if we can maintain sincerity, then Krishna will come through as he has promised. Especially in this age, we're more trying to be candidates for Kripa Siddha. Kripa Siddha has a lot to do not with how expert we are, but with how faithful and determined that we are. And so in these day and times, when there are so many, many problems, and when it looks like the problems will increase, perhaps before they get better, that it's a time that we can use that anxiety and to focus more on the lotus feet of the Lord. We can use this time to remember and remind ourselves what it was like or what it is like when we are experiencing more Krishna consciousness, and we experience that when we let go. We experience it more in the mood of Draupadi, that she is holding on to Sari and she lets go, and therefore Krishna's protection is there. So sometimes Krishna wants to connect with us more, and he puts us in those situations where we are more helpless or where we recognize our helplessness. And if our faith is sufficiently strong, then with that helplessness, then we cry out more to him. So in this course, in 2-minute summary, we had a chance to look over these sheets, and we looked at some of the ways. We asked each of you to discuss what your conception was of depression, and you gave different ideas. And we looked at four different ways that people come to the movement, that out of three ways, only one way out of knowledge, and that some of these ways themselves inherently bring this dysfunctionalism, anxiety, and disgust. We looked at the fact that there's sometimes a manic type of person who comes to the movement who is interested in authority or autocracy and can abuse that. There's sometimes people who come to the movement who are so much into dependency, codependency, in a very unhealthy way that they just want to be told everything and not to take responsibility, and that this can cause problems. We looked at that some of us, we saw in the room about 1/4 of people in the room were contemplating suicide before they joined the movement on a suicidal consciousness. We expressed that in many times 1/4 to 1/3 of people in the devotee setting were expressing that. And it shows how there was such a destitution, desperation, and Krishna came forward to help them. We look closely at the World Health Organization, we mentioned how there's a problem that the world is facing, and that in the next 15 years or so, there is going to be such a rise in mental illness, especially depression, that it's going to be one of the greatest diseases and world crisis. Therefore, it is significant for us to look closer at this in our own communities, look closer in how to help other people. And so the rest, and I'll end with that, you have these sheets. So the rest of the things that we discussed, as we looked at different types of depression, as we went into discussing about things like possession, why women are sometimes more likely to have greater states of depression than men. We had a homework assignment where we looked at the sense of being abandoned, and looking close at times when we may have felt abandoned and saw that it was really Krishna's mercy. So we're in with that, and then we looked at certain different states of consciousness, what happens at those different states. If we're too much at that level, the good things that happen, and if we're not sufficiently connecting with that level, the things that can happen that are inauspicious. We went over the things about forgiveness, and we looked at what happens when we are not forgiving and holding grudges, and then we looked at the opposite, as we had the discussion yesterday, in trying to release certain patterns, certain anxieties, to let certain karmic patterns drop from us, from freeing ourselves from various types of grudges. And then last thing we end with, remember this story we mentioned about one of our great acharyas, Srila Sridhara Swami, emphasizing in relationship to Dayabak, that when one is going on day to day but experiencing some difficulties, some suffering from previous activities, previous karma, one should go on with faith and enthusiasm, knowing that it becomes a rightful claim to inherit the kingdom of God. So we brought up the fact that how does a son inherit his father's wealth? He simply has to remain alive. Father has already given an arrangement that this is arranged for my son. These inheritance are for him, this estate. So the son, by remaining alive, he is able to receive those things. If we're able to remain alive in our devotional life, now that we are aligned with the parampara, if we are able to remain alive, then it becomes our rightful claim to be able to go back to the spiritual kingdom. So if we follow these principles, we have the tolerance, not naivety, not denial, but if we access more and more utsaha, enthusiasm for the goal, and maintain this kind of intensity where we can break through the mode of material nature, then it becomes our rightful claim. So you keep reflecting on the things that were given to you, because you will definitely have many opportunities to use them for yourself and for others. And in some cases, it may even make the difference whether a person remains in this royal path of bhakti or finds himself being distracted by many of the gains of the mind. So we enjoyed having a chance to be with all of you. There's many variegated things that you brought up. It was quite interesting. I definitely feel I learned more than what I gave. And you have my email address and website, so we can be in touch at any time to discuss some of these issues more as you go back, you know, to your various communities. Excuse me for that last few minutes talking so fast, but when I saw him here, I know I have to end up. Srila Prabhupada ji!